The reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Thank you, Margaret and Paul, and for everyone that's been leading us so far. So we're beginning a new series. There it is. Up there too. Oh, look at that. Everyone has something to offer. That's what we're looking at today. A part of this being fit spiritually. And it's a great idea, isn't it? Everyone has something to offer. I mean, you, me. Person next to you, person in front of you, person behind you. Everyone has, it has great inclusivity about it, doesn't it? Which is a popular word now. We've got to be inclusive. Everyone has something to offer, whatever it is that we're trying to do. It fits a modern approach to life and affirms everyone's value. Everyone has something to offer. And it even sounds biblical. We can read of the building of the tabernacle, God's tent, where each person brought what they wanted to bring. If you want to read that, it's in Exodus chapter 25. Everyone brought what they wanted to the tent and, you know, to the building of the tabernacle. And then they made this huge tent for God, right in the middle of the community. Everyone's got something to offer. As your heart's desire. Sounds really good. But there are a few flaws or problems with that. And to demonstrate that, I'm going to ask people to bake me a cake. So, I've given various people ingredients. Would you like to come out, please? Can I have that other microphone? You've got the other mic? It's up there, is it? You can bring your ingredients. Now, people, bake me a cake. I've given you everything you need. There's mixing bowls there. Make sure you're nice and loud. Okay, there's a microphone there as well. Okay. There you go.
Careful of my ends.
Doesn't really matter anyway.
I've got the most important thing. You don't hear by the look of your knees sweeping up, don't you? Gosh.
I think actually you'll find it's all about me. Just about me.
You want baking powder? The more baking powder, the bigger the cake.
Really? We need lots of milk. Don't forget my milk.
And I've got the butter and you can't start. No! You can't start until I've put my butter. No!
Just a bit rubbish because I've just got the plain flour.
Oh, don't worry, we don't need you anyway. Yeah, we've got me.
I think if I just add a little bit of baking powder, it might be all right.
No, don't worry. You go away. We don't need you. I'll make up with you. Look, yours is not as posh as mine. I've got McDougal's
on the
best.
She's got far too much butter around her middle already.
You can't have my butter. My butter needs to be soft. You know you can't mix anything with butter until it's got that much.
Vanilla essence.
Don't you know that I am the Mary Berry of Houston Baptist Church? And
let's start our own cake.
Mary, I know. Come on, get this sugar in, boy.
That's a lot of butter.
You know.
Come here.
Put more of that in.
It's not mine.
I've got the drink, is it?
a second. Hang on a second.
Excuse me.
I think you're forgetting something important. You have not.
Shout at them. Shout.
You're forgetting something important, people. You're not looking at the actual recipe. This is not an exact recipe. If you actually look at the Bible, which I think none of you have done at this point, you'll realise that some of these ingredients are clearly not even biblical. I'm a bit concerned about this. Sugar, for example, not biblical.
I'm not worried about the Bible, aren't
you? Well, I've got plenty of sugar, but I was thinking about something that was a bit more biblical, and I found something. It's Marmite. Because if you think about it, a little bit of yeast worked into the mixture, it's the kingdom of heaven, right? So I think we need to add something else into this. So I'm just going to bring this over.
Not everybody loves that.
No.
Crack them, boy.
I did.
Where? On who?
They're all cracked.
Yeah, I know, but that's... Look at that. You've just ruined the cake with all that.
Oh, no, I haven't.
You've left it to my sugar.
Don't worry. It's out again.
The brown sugary. Well, my
chocolate. Do you want chocolate?
Have you?
We need chocolate.
Can I have some white chocolate?
She's got white chocolate.
Can I have some?
It's fine. All we need is baking powder.
Baking powder and milk.
No, if we have baking powder, then it'll be bigger.
Not forgetting me, the most important ingredient.
If we have this, then it'll be bigger. But my butter is still not soft, so it's never going to mix. Look, no, I told you it wouldn't work until you waited for my butter.
If you add more flat in, then we're going to have to add more of this.
Thank you very much. Well done. And yet more vanilla essence, okay. I thought you'd be keeping that.
Horrible.
So, come on, let's have some audience participation here. What was wrong? Come on, let's hear what people have got to say. There you go, Nick, thank you. What was wrong?
No teamwork, no coordination.
No teamwork, okay. So, no teamwork was one. Anything else?
No plan.
No plan, okay. No recipe.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. Okay, anything else?
Everybody thought their ingredient was the most important.
Okay, everyone thought that?
No, apart from the plain flour, which of course was not important.
And the chocolate, yeah, okay.
No leadership.
Pardon?
No leadership.
No leadership. Do we need leadership to bake a cake? It obviously helps in this matter, yeah. Okay. Any other lessons that we've learned from this?
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks. Absolutely, yeah. There's an amazing number of lessons that you can learn. And what I've done is in the notes, I've just asked you to jot some lessons down. What do you think is really important about, you know, baking a cake? We're going to apply it to building something, building a life, for instance. What's really important in building a life? What are the essentials for you? What's the essentials in building a family? What's the essentials in building a home? Building a relationship. You can do the same things and come to the same conclusions in every one of these things. Building something requires some kind of plan. It does. And building something also requires some kind of determination. Because you know what it's like when you build something. There's always that mañana moment when things get difficult. So whatever you're building, whether it's a life, a home, a family, a career, building anything worthwhile requires some kind of leadership, some kind of effort, some kind of determination, and some kind of plan. It's So why is it when we come to a church, we sometimes say, well, anything will do that you offer. Everything is fine. We'll just build it around you. We'll build it. I mean, imagine a family built around one child. Oh, yeah, that happens, doesn't it? And they're horrible children. Imagine a family built around one man. And the wife and all the children and everything have got to just be satellites around that person. It's not a good family, is it? Well, the same with church. If we're going to build a church, from cake making, we can say, you know, the lessons that we can learn. But if I go back to that tabernacle, that one up there, and you read the following verses from Exodus 25, it says, this is the offering you are to receive from them. So not everything was acceptable. It says gold, silver, and bronze, purple, blue, and scarlet yarn, fine linen and goat hair, ram skins dyed red, manatee skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for fragrant incense, and onyx along with other gemstones for mounting on the ephod and breastplate. No marmite in any of that. Specific things were asked for. Now, if we imagine a great church, we can all do that, I think. What is a great church to you? And then, what is the right church for here? And who has the recipe? It's an individual thing. The good news is this. The authority is in Jesus' hands. Not ours. If you read that text that we have, it started off with, all authority is given to me. Not to you, not to me, but to Jesus. That's his claim. The authority is mine. In other words, I have the recipe for life, for family life, for homes, for careers. Not just the church. He doesn't say, I have the recipe for the church. That's it. That's my domain. That's it. I have life's recipes. All authority is given to me. So use one of mine. And his desire was to make disciples. Definition of a disciple? Just stick an L plate on your back. All right? I'm a learner. And the problem with learners is they think they learn enough. You know, we want to pass the test and say we're here, we've arrived. But I don't know about you, but I'm still learning to drive. Because there's some idiots out on the road. Have you met them? Or they just follow me? They do the strangest things at the strangest times. And, you know, mothers with children just own the road. Okay, and young men sort of own my bit of the road. And people do the strangest things. I'm still learning to read people and read the way they drive. I'm still a learner. If I thought that I knew everything, I wouldn't pay attention to the rules, to individual people. I'd just keep going, saying, well, they're all wrong. You know, we had a crash because you were wrong. I can imagine that, can you? If you think you've learned enough, you're unteachable and you stop being a disciple. A learner is someone who acknowledges that they don't know it all. And you can go to any theologian and say, do you know it all? And they'll say, no. Any church leader. Do you know what you're doing? No. I think I've got a clue as to maybe the next step. And that's the way we work. We know that we don't know it all. And we know God well enough to know that he is full of surprises and can use anything and everything in all creation, including those who oppose him, to accomplish his purposes. That was one of Haggai's problems, wasn't it? God, why are you using bad people to discipline good ones? I don't get that one. Why do you do that, God? Why do you use someone else to discipline me? Why can't you use someone more holy than me to do it? You use my neighbor, who's some, you know, person I detest, but somehow they've brought me down a peg or two to remind me to be humble. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, it's happened to me. Okay. I must need bringing down a lot more. And if you ask, well, how does he do that? In Matthew 28:16-20, he says this. When you make disciples, this is what I want you to do. Evangelize, go and tell them the good news, baptize, and then teach them to listen. Not teach them all the doctrines. Teach them to listen to the leading of the spirits and the ingredients of the church's, those are the ingredients of the church's commission. I want you to make disciples. These are learners. And when they're learning, they're going to be, you know, evangelized, then baptized, and then you're going to teach them to obey, to listen. He didn't say teach them the tenets of the faith. How do you listen to God? How do you hear God's voice? Because other people think we're nuts. That we're incapable of doing it, that we make it all up in our heads. And we've got to try and convince people that we are in touch with the Almighty God who is beyond the scope of the universe in that spiritual realm. And lead such a life that people actually say, well, they're not nuts, so what's going on? Teach them to obey, he says. You know, I'm fascinated by the way Jesus did his leadership. You know, he didn't produce a manual on church growth. He didn't produce a manual on how to build a church at all, from scratch or any other way. He just gave them this command and sent them out on their way. There's no how-to manual. And for that, you have to listen to God. For there's no universal formula that works anywhere and everywhere. You listen to the leadings that will draw ourselves and other people closer to God on the journey through life. And that's why we don't get full of arrogance. Because sometimes it's difficult to hear the voice of God. You think he's saying one thing, and it doesn't quite pan out. And you have to listen a little harder. And it brings you to that place of humility. If we want to look at a church that Jesus is proud of, everyone does have something to offer, but the recipe is not yours, it's not mine, it's the recipe of Jesus. He has the authority to say who and what and how much and when. We are not in charge, but he may give us a small part of the recipe and give us tools to make it happen. Very much like the beginning of the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 25. They are to make a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. You must make it according to all that I show you, he says to Moses. The pattern of the tabernacle, his tent, as well as the pattern for all the furnishings. Where did Moses get his idea to build a tent from God? From God. What did that tent look like? Where did he get that from? From God. And he built it with the people, according to God's design. Here, this week, you're going to build some more of your life. You're going to build some more of your family life. You're going to build more of your community life. I hope you're going to build more of your church life. How much? What? Where? and when are the questions that will set you alight in speaking to God. Now, each of us has something to give. I know that. Paul, come and read some scripture to us.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just wait a minute.
So we know the what, if you know your gifts. But there's still another question or two. When, where, and how much? And for that, you listen to God. Paul, some more.
The next reading is from Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Thank you, Paul. We'll do more of this next week. The what, the how much, and so forth. My call to you is, for those of you who are members, let's build this church together. Everyone does have something to offer. Sorry. But each one is responsible for what and how much and when. And for that, we listen to the recipe of Jesus. I hope your life goes well this week. But I hope you're open to listening. Because it'll make your heart grow a little, beat a little faster, and your joy increase, and the peace of God will rest on you. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you give your Holy Spirit to all those who come to you in the name of Christ. Give him to us, we pray, for the joy, the peace, and the fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray.